Imagine how it would feel if the room were flickering with lightning, Violet said. That's the sort of trickery that makes people believe in fortune-telling. So Madame Lulu is a fake, Klaus said. Violet flicked both switches again, and the lights went on as the invention went off. She's a fake, all right, Violet said. I bet that crystal ball is just plain glass. She tricks Count Olaf into thinking she's a fortune-teller, so he'll buy her things like lions and new turbans.
Chesro?
Sunny asked, and looked up at her siblings. By Chesro, Sunny meant something along the lines of, but if she's a fake, how did she know that one of our parents was alive? But her siblings were almost afraid to answer her. She didn't, Sunny, Violet said quietly. Madame Lulu's information is as fake as her magic lightning. Sunny made a small, quiet sound that her siblings could scarcely hear behind her beard, and hugged Violet and Klaus's legs while her little body shivered with sadness. Suddenly it was Sunny's turn to bear the burden of Baudelaire grief, but she did not bear it for long, because Klaus thought of something that made the Baudelaires collect themselves. "Wait a minute," Klaus said. "Madame Lulu may be a fake, but her information might be real. After all, she always told Count Olaf where we were staying, and she was right about that." "That's true," Violet said. "I forgot about that." "After all," Klaus said, reaching with difficulty into his pocket, "we first thought that one of our parents might be alive after we read this." He unfolded a piece of paper that his sisters recognized as the 13th page of the Snicket file. There was a photograph, stapled to the page, which showed the Baudelaire parents standing next to one man the Baudelaires had met briefly at the village of Foul Devotees, and one man the children did not recognize. And below the photograph was a sentence Klaus had read so many times that he did not need his glasses to read it again. Because of the evidence discussed on page 9, experts now suspect that there may in fact be one survivor of the fire, but the survivor's whereabouts are unknown, he recited. Maybe Madame Lulu knows about this. But how? Violet asked. Well, let's see, Klaus said. Count Olaf said that after the appearance of magical lightning, Madame Lulu told him to close his eyes so she could concentrate.
There,
Sunny said, pointing to the table with the crystal ball. No, Sunny, Violet said. The crystal ball couldn't tell her. It's not magical, remember?
There,
Sunny insisted, and walked over to the table. Violet and Klaus followed her, walking awkwardly, and saw what she was pointing at. Sticking out from under the tablecloth was a tiny speck of white. Kneeling down in their shared pants, the older Baudelaires could see it was the very edge of a piece of paper.
"Good thing you're closer to the ground than we are, Sunny," said Klaus. "We never would have noticed that."
"But what is it?" Violet asked, sliding it out from under the tablecloth. Klaus reached into his pocket again, removed his glasses, and put them on.
"Now I feel less like a freak and more like myself," he said with a smile, and began to read out loud. "My dear Duchess, your masked ball sounds like a fantastic evening, and I look forward to—" His voice trailed off, and he scanned the rest of the page.
"It's just a note about some party," he said.
"What's it doing underneath the tablecloth?" Violet asked.
"It doesn't seem important to me," Klaus said, "but I guess it was important enough to Lulu that she hid it."
"Let's see what else she's hiding," Violet said, and lifted the end of the tablecloth. All three Baudelaires gasped.